right, man. Welcome back. We got season 2, episode 3 going down today. And as you can see, we got another guest with us. Yes, sir. Mr. Jordan Baguette.
Yeah. Appreciate local, y'all for having
local
me.
Local artist, man. We'll have to get into it. I listened to a lot of the songs last night and watched a lot of the videos. I've seen a bunch, but never like straight through and trying to like get themes and like you got a lot of messages and like content in there that like people need to check out, but we'll get into all that. First off, how's everybody doing?
Good, bro.
Pretty good.
Yeah. Glad to be healthy.
We're masked up out here. Numbers are going crazy.
Right.
Yeah. I think they're all time high in Iowa City.
The weather's been so nice this past few weeks.
You can't mask up somebody in this weather.
Yeah, people have been
in this
out
kind of weather.
Right.
People been out. It's been hard to stay in the house. Like, you know, every day I wake up, I've been like, damn, I got to go do something.
No, I know.
You need to sit your ass down.
But see, that's the thing, though, too. Look, they opened up the bars. Right. The students came back. And it's like, I remember I had a fake ID back in 2014. Mm. And that was when Iowa was the number one party school in the nation. Yep. I was like, I tell, like, my little cousins and stuff like that, they're getting older. I'm like, man, I wish y'all could have been out there with me. It's like everybody's still out there pretty active, but
right.
I don't know. It's tough, man. It's like you have people who are dying from it. You have people who are, you know, they sweat a little bit one day and then they're good. And then people who are asymptomatic. So it's like, I don't know. And I think we're so used to, like, if you have the flu or any other cold, you come in contact, you get over it, and then you're like, okay, I got the antibodies for it. And it's like you can't treat this shit that way.
Right.
But our whole way of life is slowed down now. So it's like I don't know how people. It's been weird to see how everybody responds.
Well, that's the scary part about it is the unknowns. You know, and now they're pushing out a vaccine when normally it takes 4 years, but now they're like less than a year trying to pump. Like, it's like so many things that we've never dealt with.
The trackers.
Man, I mean, we don't need to get into all that, but yeah, I'm not signing up right away.
The trackers.
It's like the new iOS. It's always got bugs and shit.
Right. Yeah. Exactly.
Let the sheep get that first.
You wake up and you're like, you got lizard skin or some crazy shit. They've been experimenting, man.
Oh, man. Hopefully someday we'll be back to normal.
Yeah.
But, you know,
I hope so, man.
Yeah. We're getting through it.
I don't know, though. Like, if you think about it, after everything being shut down for so long, I wonder, especially people who had, like, paranoia about, like, a major pandemic beforehand, you know, and then this happens, it's going to be really interesting to see how people try to, like, reintegrate themselves into society after things are cool, you know what I mean?
Well, like, I haven't been, so I don't know for sure, but I heard that China's, like, back to normal. Like, they shut everything down and people are, like, back doing, like, normal stuff and not even masked up the same. Mm-hmm. So, like, I don't know if that's like that everywhere, but like our friends that like have like went back home and like just reported back to us have been like, yo, it's actually normal here. Cool, you know what I'm saying? Like, Iowa City's crazy.
Well, that was a couple weeks ago. I know the UK, like Europe, is starting to shut down again.
For real?
Yeah, those guys didn't listen either, though. So, like, China was the like government, like, hey, you literally can't come outside or we're taking your ass to jail type stuff. But
it was like, a little bit different. But I think what you're getting at is like, yeah, when everything is quote unquote cool again, like, are people still gonna wanna wear masks? Are people gonna be afraid to go to concerts?
Right.
Like, is the vibe still gonna, like, that's the thing that we're gonna have to wait and see.
Right. Yeah. I mean, that paranoia.
Yeah, I mean, oh, my bad.
Go ahead.
Well, cause, like, you know, I didn't even think about how much it impacted, like, the music industry. And, you know what I'm saying? Like, people can't tour. People can't, you know, people might not even, like, have their studios open to, like, certain people type shit. You know what I'm saying? So, like, This is a time where, like, it was really important for you to have invested in yourself and have your own shit so that you didn't have to worry about that type of stuff.
Right.
You could be spending this time, like, actually making music.
Yeah.
But, like, you know, it's probably harder to get access to stuff. I wonder if, like I was playing video games heavy during the pandemic, but I don't know about music equipment. Like controllers, I couldn't find video game controllers. I wonder if it was the same with music equipment. Like,
well, luckily, I bought a ton of equipment. My first project, Pink Palace Nights, I recorded, was it 12 tracks on there? I can't remember. I love the project.
It was fire. Y'all got to check it out.
Appreciate you. I recorded like 8 of the tracks at the crib and just took the files to, you know, show at ESD. You know, he's out in Atlanta now.
Right.
But he mixed and mastered, and then the other ones we recorded there. But I made sure to do that early on because it's like, man, artists these days, we have so much freedom. You know, you have DSPs, you can put your music on, it puts it everywhere. You have recording equipment. Like, we have an interface right now that Trav uses when he's on the road. So it's like the quality is there, you know what I'm saying? So yeah, really investing in yourself. And then during quarantine, I put out a little mixtape on SoundCloud, the quarantine tapes. I went like over like the Who Shot Ya beat by Biggie, but then I did like Rolling Peace by Kodak. I just went in for like a minute.
And you got the equipment to obviously all record your own stuff.
So. I did it in like 12 days, mixed and mastered all of it on my own, did the artwork.
Right.
You know what I mean? But that's the part of being resourceful, man. And I going even back to the conversation about like how it's affected us psychologically, I thank God, bro. I made a bunch of different New Year's resolutions, and the only one I stuck to was meditation, and that was the most important one. Mm. And during that whole time, like, I know people were going, like, stir crazy. And I was just in my room fucking zenned out, you know what I mean? But having to learn, like, one of the big practices they talk about in meditation is, like, surrender or learning how to be at peace in, like, uncertain times.
Mm-hmm.
And it's, like, with the world being shut down and us being in a pandemic, things going on in politics, things going on and, you know, race issues, all this different stuff, it's, like, trying to maintain like a some sort of sanity, you know what right. I'm saying? But I think, and I also, for me personally, and I don't want to sound like bad about this, 2020 for me has been one of the best years of my life because I've had so much time to just go inward, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Where it's like you can't be outside.
It's been a good year.
Yeah, man, like, you got to go inward.
I definitely feel like it's taught you to, like, you know, maybe
teach yourself something.
Yeah.
Instead of fearing the unknown, maybe accepting.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? The unknown. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. He got to, man. I mean, because that's the thing is that what anxiety, they say it comes from either thinking too much about the past or thinking too much about the future. If you can learn how to be content just in, like, the present moment,
mm-hmm.
that can alleviate a lot of stress. And I battled with anxiety and depression for, like, a long time. It was, like, a 10-year bout. Like, I was, like, 14 and suicidal, different stuff. I'm 24 now, and throughout the meditation and implementing different practices, like, I literally cured my depression. I cured those anxious moments, you know what I'm saying? Or I have tools. If things pop up, I'm like, okay, let me go do a little 5-minute meditation real quick, you know what I'm saying? Or let me go outside and, you know, just be in nature for a second. And I think that's the one thing that if you could take anything away from, you know, getting that or learning how to deal with the unknown is finding resources that can help you get back calm when you are worried about shit. You know what I'm saying?
So, I guess, like, how do you take your, like, emotions, your energy, and put it into your music?
It's transformed, man. It's transformed a lot. When I started, I wrote my first song when I was, like, 15. I had attempted suicide when I was, like, 14. And the music brought me out of that, right? So it was a therapeutic process at first. And I was writing a lot of these thoughts. A lot of the early music almost sounded like horrorcore because all of the dark shit, like, I just projected it in there. You know what I mean? And then as I started to gravitate more and, like, have a passion about it, it wasn't something that was, like, saving me. It was something that, like, I started to love. You know what I mean? Then it kind of developed. But early on, I was decent at it. So I overestimated my talent. I wasn't, like, great, you know what I mean? But I was like, okay, you know, I'm dope. So I had high expectations being young. I got disappointment early, and then I wasn't writing for a while. So, like, I wrote a song when I was 15, probably wrote like 5 more that year, and then I didn't write again until late my sophomore year. And then I started writing again, and I picked it up, and I was like, yo, this is fire. And then I stopped. My whole junior year, I didn't write anything in high school. Senior year, I dropped a song on, like, it was like New Year's or something. And then I took a long break because I went to, like, community college. My family was really, really, they weren't, like, super supportive early on, you know what I mean? And then, so I was like, okay, you know, I'll go to college, I'll, you know, get a business degree, I'll follow the straight and narrow. And
sometimes it's hard to be supportive of the unknown,
right?
You know what I'm saying?
And I understand it. Like, really, I think parents or family members, like, a lot of times the advice they give you, they can't discern if it's from fear or from a genuine place. Really, they're just worried about you being preserved. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Like, my mom's she speaks sometimes out of like nervousness because she's, I just want my baby to be alive. You know what I mean?
Right.
So I get that. So it's like, I've had to learn how to discern like, okay, is this coming from a healthy place? What's valid here? What's not? You know right. what I'm saying? And so I was just sitting in class one day. It had to be like microeconomics. And I was like, fuck this shit.
I don't That's even a class that'll make you say that.
Right, sure. exactly. Like, I don't even like this shit. And then I got in my bag. I met, and I know Andre Wright. We had connected when I was like, you know, still kind of light in the music. And he was fucking with like the vision. I told him the whole story about Pink Palace before I'd even had it written. Mm. I was like, yo, this happened to me, yada, yada, yada. And then I'm like, I'm planning on doing this, doing that. It was on a drive to Des Moines, and I was performing at this fashion show. He had me walk in it, and they had me rap in it. And on the way back, he's like, yo, I got to introduce you to my dude in Iowa City. He's got the studio. And so October of 16 rolled around. We started walking for the show, and then Andre had show come in because he was DJing it. And Andre, after practice, he was like, yo, play him some of your shit. I played him a couple records. Show's like, yo, this is hard. He's like, let me play you a couple beats. So he played a couple, and just two of them. And one of them was the beat to this record I have called Mudda Wolf. I recorded Mudda Wolf. We did a super, 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 like, it was a terrible video. No stabilizer. It was just all handwork. Me and my boy and then a girl that I was working with who did like some like styling stuff went out to Chicago. She went and saw her like dude she was talking to out there. He was working at like RSVP at the time. So we stopped by there, left her there, and then we just went out and filmed for like 8 hours straight in the dead of winter, right? Finding different weird locations. And I remember when me and my boy were uploading it to Facebook, it was like right before I had to go work at, I was working at Mandarin Spice in Cedar Rapids. So I'm like, I'm about to go like serve sushi and like, you know what I'm saying? But I'm like, bro, I'm like, dude, I think this could be big. And I'm thinking like, you know, 1,000 views or whatever. Cause it's small at the time. I didn't even think I put out a video before then. And he was like, I know, I feel it. And so we upload, I go to work. And it was so busy, I couldn't check my phone. It was just on the charger. 5 hours passed. I look at my phone, and it's like, I'm scrolling through notifications. I'm like, what the fuck is going on here, right? All from Facebook. And I saw my pops had texted me, and he said, 6,000 views in 5 hours, Rumble, young man, Rumble. He always says that all the time. Yeah. And I was like, whoa. So I go on Facebook, and it was like on fire. So 24 hours, it was at like 14,000. A month later, it was at like 65K. And I talked to Show, and he was like, if you want to do it, you might as well like take it serious now. So 2017 was where I was like, okay, you know, this can be a therapeutic process for me, but it can also be something that I can approach and I can monetize and I can feed my family off. You know what I mean? Right. These are my ideas, but I'm like, now I understand, like, you can't let your ego get in the way of your progress. You gotta have delayed gratification when it comes to your records and just stay consistent with it. So it's been a lot of learning lessons since. And then, like, I thought I was taking it serious in 2017. 2017 taught me a lot of lessons. Then 2018, I'm like, okay, I'm geared up. You know, things didn't move as fast as I thought. And then that's when I started grabbing equipment on my own. And that's when I started doing things where I was more responsible. And so I wasn't having hiccups like not being able to get in the studio, you know, if Show was busy or, you know, waiting on content creators. It was like, yo, I'm finding different people who are like here invested. So now, although 2020 slowed down a lot, I was still able to put out 2 projects. Right. And we did everything internally, like all my people, you know what I'm saying? Right. So
it's slowly starting to, you're starting to figure out the process. Exactly. And it's just starting to turn into like a well-oiled machine.
Yeah, right? Yeah.
That's fire.
Yeah.
Now we just been sitting here talking. We actually do have questions that we like,
okay,
we
yeah.
got ready for you.
Well, I guess like kind of going back, because you have a very interesting like style. Uh-huh. You know, it's a lot of like characters, personas, different, like you sing, you rap, like there's a lot of mixed. Like, who was, like, your... Do you have any, like, influences from when you started that you really took, like, inspiration from?
I mean, honestly, I would say the three our bigs this generation, Drake, Cole, and Kendrick. I've always, like, even in the morning when I do affirmations and shit, I'm like, I'm bigger than Drake, I'm bigger than Cole, I'm bigger than Kendrick. To, like, not to gas myself up, but to, like, I'm big in manifestation, man.
Yeah.
And it's like, I'm going to do it in my own sense. Even if I'm not doing, you know, Beatles numbers like Drake is, right. I want to be able to sit back and, like, my prowess or how I approach the art. One thing that Kendrick does, every one of his projects, you don't know what's going to come next.
Yeah.
And the storytelling. That's like older, like 90s elements, you know what I'm saying? But that's the thing is that when I fell in love with all of their music, I went back to their influences and then the influences after that. So it's like, I called Yodes the other day. Yodes is the guy who produced all the beats on Red Rum, mm-hmm. and he's my manager too. So I'm calling him. It's so funny because I feel like I'm pretty articulate, but every time we talk ideas, he's like, wait, what? And so I called him and I'm like, yo, I'm like, I want to do this video. I'm talking the different elements. I don't want to say too much because right. we still got to execute it. But I'm like, I said something about Britney Spears, John Mayer, and Prince all in the same conversation. He's like, what the fuck are you talking about? And I'm like, dude, trust me. So I sent him some references and he's like, okay, this shit can be dope. And that's my thing is that, like, going deeper, like, you have music influences. If you're a writer, like, you have somebody you listen to. Or, like, when I was writing Pink Palace, I knew it had to be story heavy. And I'm like, I need to bring back some older 90s rap elements. Like, I had to, like, bring them into a world, right? But I'm like, it's going to be on new production. I don't want, like, boom bap beats because I don't want to lose. Like, I don't want to, like, miss in translation because, like, it's like, some people can do it right. And even like on the quarantine tapes, I did the boom bap stuff. But that wasn't the direction I wanted to take the sound. So I had one of my homies, Nathan Heisinger. He's my photographer. So he shot the Red Rum artwork. He shot the Pink Palace artwork. And he does a lot of my photo work. He's actually, it's crazy. Like, white dude, comb over hair. Like, we're about the same height. Pretty, like, you know, you think he's a just a normal dude. That motherfucker is one of the craziest rappers ever. And he just does it for fun, right? Like, he got into his bag, like, way back when. And so he can freestyle for, like, 15 minutes straight. It's crazy shit. And you're like, what the fuck? So he would do this in front of me. And I'm like, man, like, it would make me want to get in my bag every time I heard him. And I was like, Nate, I need you to send me, like, your influences. Who do you listen to? Who have you listened to? So he sent me a text. It was, you know, one of them long ones you can scroll. It was a bunch of different 90s and, like, early 2000s rap. And he's like, so-and-so, this album. So-and-so, this album. Check out this album, right? So it was like a blend of, like, MF Doom, Big Pun, Biggie, some Eminem in there. All this is 59 hours long. I was working a lawn care job at the time. So I was just spraying chemicals and listening to music. That's the same time I was writing Pink Palace. So I'd be listening to, like, lyrical hip-hop 5 hours in a day. And I was the road guy, so it was rare. Like, I would drive, like, to Moline from, like, Marion. I'd do a job, then I'd drive to, like, Waterloo. Like, I can't remember the routes, but it was, like, I spent a lot of time driving in the car.
Right.
So I'm just listening, bro, and I'm trying to, I'm going to program my subconscious mind to understand these patterns, how the lines are built, how to structure the first part of this, all this different stuff, right? And really, really immerse people. Like, you know,
because, like, it's an art to it. It's not, like, it's way deeper than people realize when they're trying to figure out.
Exactly.
Like, when you listen to people, like, the tones going high and low, and you know what I'm saying? It's almost, it sounds crazy, but, like, it's like watching James Harden dribble. It seems like a bunch of nonsense, but there's a science to it of, like, getting your opponent to stand up and get down, and, like, the highs and the lows and the different tones of music, like, makes a verse everything. You could not even say that much, but, like, do, like, little things and it sound like a whole bunch, you know what I'm
right
saying?
Well, and this is the thing,
awesome
too.
Comparison too.
Yeah.
Yeah, awesome comparison. Hell yeah. Now, sports and music, I think, like, it's with all forms of art, man. Like, if you learn, it's even, like, if you think about, like, food, right?
Mm-hmm.
And cooking. If you want to make a fire dish, there's a lot of ingredients that go in. And you have to know, okay, this much spice, and I need this much salt, right, and I need this, and this has got to marinate overnight, and all that different shit. And it's like, if you do it right, it's fire. If you do it wrong, You know, and there you can discern it. I think what's weird about music these days, though, is that we're getting into more of, like, the vibe. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And you're having people who are fusing it, like, and that's one thing I think Kendrick, Drake, and Cole, going back to them, they know how to create a vibe, but they also know how to give it content. You know what I'm saying? So you have, like I remember when, like, Pump dropped, like, Gucci Gang, right? Mm-hmm. And I initially wasn't really vibing with it, but then I'm, like, out at the clubs, and I'm like, okay, time and a place. You know what I'm saying?
Because the vibe is marketable. You know what I'm saying? Like, yeah, like, them little club bangers, you can just play them 100 times a day.
And there's a niche. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. It's like, you may, I'm not going to, like, wake up in the, well, it depends on what day, you know. After I meditate, I might throw on some fucking crazy shit and go nuts. But a lot of times, like, it's a time and a place. And that's the thing. So going back, trying to figure out each project, and, like, going to the influences, there's a lot of times where I can say, at least now, because I still haven't done my 10,000 hours. I don't even think I'm close. I don't know, but it's been, because like I said, it was hit or miss. Even though I had written songs back in high school, I wasn't, like, dedicating hours to it. You know what I'm saying? I've been putting in a lot of hours these last, like, probably 2-3 years. You know what I'm saying?
So you've been rapping since high school, but you just started taking it serious. Like, so, in high school, like, when did you realize you could rap? Like at what point in time did you say, you know what, I'm going to make some music? You know what I'm saying? Like, did you just, like...
I was in choir. I was around a bunch of musicians. And one of my childhood friends, Savon, he's actually featured on Nana on Pink Palace. He sings, but he plays piano. And he was playing this piano part. And I just started, like, freestyling. I was saying some little shit. So I was like, okay, keep playing it. I voice memoed it on my phone, took it home, and then came back the next day and had a song written. So I started writing to piano parts. Mm. I didn't get on any beats until, like, my sophomore year. So freshman year, I had Savon and then my boy Jesse. Jesse played the guitar on Sub Rosa at the beginning, that whole first part where I come in singing, that whole, like, Beatles vibe. I sent him the second part of the record. Me and Yotes had already had that done. And I was like, I need you to, like, create an element. So, like, I came up around a bunch of super, super talented musicians. And instead of, like, letting it make me feel, like, insecure, because all I could do was fucking sing, they all played instruments, all that shit. I was like, yo, let me immerse myself into this or figure out how I can have a voice in it. You know what I'm saying? So I've got a photo from freshman year. I'm in, like, this Aeropostale fucking polo and some, like, some ripped up gray jeans. It's Jesse, Kendon, and Kendon played the devil in Pink Palace on Equivalent Exchange. He's one of my homies. Like, when I get concepts in my mind, mm-hmm. I call him and I'm like, yo, am I missing something here? Can I flesh this idea out? And he might be like, yo, I think you could take it this direction. I like this point, maybe double down on this. And then everything gets a little bit more solid. So Kendon's been there. Savon. So it's Kendon, Savon, Jesse, Shuey. He's one of my old homies. And then Nick took the photo. And Nick has done a lot of my videos. So, like, a lot of the Pink Palace stuff, that's him. Or, like, my Quarantine Tapes videos, he did those. The memes for Red Rum that I posted, Nick did those. So it's like a lot of these people have been there from the jump. It's just... they were supportive and they were like, yo, this is dope. And I honestly had a lot more confidence, like blind. I was rapping in front of, like, groups of people when I sucked in comparison to how I am now. You know what I mean? And so it's like, it was like, I always had that mentality, like, yo, I have some shit to say. You know what I'm saying? So going through the ebbs and flows of life, I finally just got to a point where I'm like, yo, like, I can use my voice as a therapeutic process, and I can also be a voice for people who don't have that approach in life. You know what I'm saying? And that's what Red Rum, or some of the elements of Red Rum, is like being so raw and honest about some things I had going on inside, that it allowed me to, like, if you listen to it, you know, there are people who battle with suicidal thoughts, people who battle with anxieties or dealing with their devils. So that's where it kind of developed. And now I'm at a point where I'm like, yo, this shit got to be bigger than me. And that's why we bring in the clothing. You know what I'm saying? Things have to feel a certain way. You know what I'm saying? With the elements of the music, I've got to convey things properly. So I'll have, like, 9 or 20, like there's 26 versions of a record that I have right now that I'm like, okay, nah, this line sucked. I got to redo this. Yoder's like, that's not the hook. Oh, my bad. These melodies, you know what I'm saying? So it's that evolution, and it took me a minute to get there, but I think I just had to be humbled a lot, you know what I mean? I had to allow the universe to kind of just push me in certain ways and be okay with it, you know what I'm saying?
So, I mean, speaking on Red Room, that's your latest album,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
And how many tracks is it? It's like 8?
Yeah, 8, yeah.
And you dropped a video for each one,
yep.
Right? So watching all those, it was like 2 a.m. I'm watching all these, and I'm like in this world of like trying to like break down everything that's happening.
Right.
And one thing I notice is colors.
Yeah.
And like you say, Pink Palace Nights. I feel like a lot of your music is based around colors, and that has deeper meanings. Uh-huh. Can you like what is that about your music that you associate certain songs with colors and the meaning behind that?
Anytime I write, I already start getting visuals, right? Or like if I'm hearing a beat, like even before I'm getting lines, I see things. So a lot of times it starts with the color. Like Yoder can be, you know, playing a loop and I like see red, or like I see, and so it's like, I think too with the visuals, I wanted to make a fully visual album. I wanted to play off of, cause you know the record Rainbow Road. So basically Red Rum is this like slow descent, and the color palettes for each one of the records, they basically like are a way that I like give my demons or my struggles of like a form, a physical thing. So the color with it makes it all come together in Rainbow Road, where it's like, no, these aren't separate entities that are outside of you. They are, when they come together, they are you. They make you, you know what I mean? And going back to Pink Palace Nights, that is from the whole story. The reason why it's called that is because my ex-girlfriend, the one who cheated on me in the project, and you hear about the whole story, she lived in the Pink Palace. Yeah. So it was like, that was the first time I realized too, I'm like, yo, like these play on names and then bringing in colors, like that's how you immerse people even more, you know what I'm saying? So, you know, with the Red Rum and the videos, I got like a dictionary definition with each one and the color palette that goes. It was a way to kind of bring everything together and the resolve, or, you know, like, cause there's the climax at Red Rum, and then Rainbow Road is kind of like, okay, now everything is here, you know what I mean?
Yeah, we'll put your YouTube link in the video, but you need to go check out the listeners.
Visuals are dope. I like them.
You need to check out all those videos in order, and like it's a trip, man. It's like, and that's what I like about you is it's like so many people try and be a rapper and just like put out music and stuff, but like the visuals, the content, there's so much that goes into you as an artist that is like so much deeper than a lot of these local people that are just, you know, putting out records. And stuff.
Shout out Roderick Phillip too, because he's the dude who. So I seen Roderick on Insta, and his aesthetic, I was like, yo, this goes hand in hand with the vibes of the project. So I met up with him, me and Yoz did, and we talked to him, played him the music, and he was fucking with it heavy. And I had gotten, because Blue on there is the only video that's like fully, like a full treatment. The rest of them, we just had they're like loops almost. I don't know if you noticed that.
Like the graphics and the back.
Yeah, exactly.
Up, yeah, yeah.
So, I mean, and two, to finance it, like if you're up and coming, you can't afford to pay for a full treated video for every one of them, right? So.
Well, not to interrupt, but watching it feels like it's a high budget, like just from the way, like it's crazy. Like,
yeah. Yeah, the edits are really good.
And I was going to ask you that, like what's the budget? Because you're putting like, it seems like a lot of effort and time into these videos, and they come off as very well polished.
I don't want to, because all the people I work with, they fuck with the vision. So a lot of times they give me really, really good prices. But I also let them know too that like I want to build. Like Roderick, I joke around with him. I tell him all the time, I'm like, I'm going to make you a very, very rich dude one day, because that was his bag. You know what I'm saying? And he had done a lot of the stuff, and I saw it, and I'm like, yo, if we fuse this stuff together, it's going to bring both of our shit to another level, you know what I'm saying? So I wanted it too. I mean, like you see like Trav, he has like a lot of graphics in his stuff and like a lot of like stuff that gets done in post to like make you feel that drugged out kind of music, or that, you know what I'm saying? And so it's like, in doing that, that just that built the world even more. You know what I mean? So yeah, everything had to match too. And I told him, I was like, a way that we can get variation. I'm like, I have like this color palette idea. So I'm like, yo, this record's got to be this color. This one's got to be that. And that allowed him to get into a bag too. Like Jaden Smith for, I think the Sire album, he's got these loops. Mm-hmm. Like there's one, it's like 5 seconds. It's just the pink Tesla on the highway. And I was like, okay, well, I can do loops too. But I'm like, let's make them crazy. And then Roderick was so invested that not only, I was like, okay, you make them 10 to 15 seconds. Most of the loops are like 15 to 30. And then he's incorporated a lot of footage of me rapping at the camera. So it's like, there's repetition in it, but there's a lot of variation because you got the different edits popping up, and then I'm rapping at the camera, and then different, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. So we just wanted to take people really, really, really into a world, and us fusing, you know, me and Yo's songs together and then bringing them to Roderick, that took it to another level.
If there's anybody you can collab with, who would you collab with?
Like big time?
I mean... Man, I feel like big time and locally. Like right now, mm-hmm. we low key got some bussing people in Iowa.
Oh yeah.
You know what I mean? The UVT dudes and
Fly Like, that's what
they
boy.
Going crazy,
yep,
bro.
Yep.
You know, we got Dylan Fuego and Sly.
Yep. Flip, we got a record. Me and Fuego, we got a record we're actually piecing together. Mm-hmm. And we're planning on putting out this month, but I told you, October was a it was a lot slower than I had expected. So we were supposed to get this record done, and we're working on a visual and different stuff like that. So me and Fuego have something coming soon.
Mm.
Me and Yodes are popping up to Des Moines. We've been talking to Fly Life about it. I've known Fly Life for like 2 years.
Mm.
So we're going to get on something together. I mean, you probably seen like I've worked with Kuna. She's crazy. She's got crazy music. My boy TJ.
Where's Kuna from?
Kuna's from Cedar Rapids.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah. She she's super dope. She like paints. She does clothing.
She's doing
all this
the clothing stuff.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah. Fire, she's fire.
And she's on Blue too, right?
She's on Blue. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. Kuna, Reese around here. Reese Wizza. He's super super dope. I mean I like to work with a lot of people. But I also like to work with artists that are really really about it. If it's gonna be local.
Mm.
Like, man, I went out in Cedar Rapids one time. I was supposed to meet one of my homies out there. He didn't show up, and I was like, all right, fuck it, I'm here.
Right.
Let me go out. I'll catch a drink or whatever. And I guess I hadn't followed this dude on Instagram, and he makes music. I've known him for a long time, and he came up to me and was like, yo, do you feel threatened by me or something, or do you feel like we're competition? I'm like, what do you mean? Dude, what?
Nice
like,
to
what
meet you. What's your name?
Right. Well, and I'm like, what do you mean? He's like, I followed you on Instagram. I hit you on a message. And this is the one thing people don't realize. Like, if you look at my phone right
you
now.
You hit me back, bro. I don't appreciate
bro,
that.
A pivotal part of my character that I'm really, really trying to work on is responding. I got 257 unread messages. Yeah. I got 57 missed calls. Like, I be in my own world. And if I got to take time away from the world, I got to step back. You know what I'm saying?
It's just sort of a part of it. You know, it's crazy because so many rappers are, like, having like backlash from like people locally, you know what I'm saying? Like you feel like, you know, the people close to you will want to see you come up or something. But I don't know.
Well, it's funny you say that because I mean, as a store, uh-huh. we deal with this too. Like we get hundreds of messages, uh-huh. sometimes daily.
Right.
And if we don't respond to somebody, they feel a type of way, and it's like we try our best to respond to everybody.
Right.
And like. People don't take consideration like your time too.
Right.
Like we're in here running a store. If you can't come in, we might not get back to a message, but like we try our best. And like for someone to feel like that is like, oh, you didn't follow me back is so crazy. It's
yeah.
like,
bro, the power of social media. Low key in 2020, like I went through a time in quarantine where I didn't answer my phone. I have people that still aren't talking to me because you know what I'm saying? Because it was just a time where I don't know. Like you just I think this was a big year for you to focus on yourself. And, like, it's nothing personal to anyone else. You know what I'm saying? But, like,
Enjoy your me time.
I just remember a time where, like, you were okay not getting in touch with somebody. And the concept is so foreign. It's, like, it's crazy. Well,
people take it as, like, a disrespect. But sometimes it's just, like, it's not disrespect. It's just there's something that I can't answer this right now. Maybe I'll get back to it. But it's not disrespectful.
Well, we got aside from you guys owning the store, your personal lives. Yeah, like, bro, like this isn't, this isn't, music is an extension of my purpose. It's not like every, I mean, I'm thinking about it all the time, but it's like, there are times where it's like, I want to go kick it with my siblings. If you call me and I'm around my little people, I'm not going to pick up, bro.
Yeah,
I don't want to talk music right now. I don't want to, you know what I mean? Or especially, this is what's terrible. And this is why the local thing kind of, like, I get when you're OTS, you say whatever a lot of times. But, yo, if you see me posting every day, you don't see that I'm in the studio 6 hours in. Like, if I've been in the studio all day and I go downtown and I want a drink, if you fucking talk to me about music, we might fight, bro.
quick, OTS is off the shit.
Right, yeah.
I don't know if we need a clarification on that.
Yeah,
nah. Yeah, I have no idea.
No. I feel you, bro. It's just, it's a time and place for everything. Right. Like, you know what I'm saying? Yeah.
Or if I'm like, yo, hit me tomorrow. And this is the craziest thing. I have people come up like, yo, we gotta work. Yada, yada, yada. They talking to me in the club. I'm faded. You know, I might be faded. Right. I'm like, dude.
Here's my business card, man. We have a meeting tomorrow.
Just hit me on socials. I'm saying, like, look, I'm like, I'm probably not going to be up till like noon, but hit me. I'll remember.
Yeah.
And no. Then, yo, go ahead.
No, but no, on a major scale, like, who would you want to work with?
Oh, yeah. Like. I mean, it depends, man. Like, you know, I think. I don't know.
Because I can think of a few people that you probably have some fire.
Tell me. Collabs. Yeah.
I mean, man, I like so many beats, like you could be on fucking, I can see you on a Chance album. I can see you on, I can see you, you're so versatile. I can see you on hella albums, you know what I mean? On hella you. Features. But, I mean, I didn't know if you had somebody in mind that you were like, damn, I really want to work with this person.
I
want
to work
you
with everybody, I mean? Man.
Like, I'm close to.
Like, I got people in the States. Of course, I want to, like I said, Kendrick, Drake, Cole. If I got on records with any of them, like, that would be insane. But, no, like, there are artists out in the UK. There's this dude named Mist. I've been following him for a long time. I love his vibe. I don't know. I mean, I want to work with everybody. Like, if I can just have certain opportunities to just even be in the rooms, you know what I'm saying, and seeing the process, like, that's enough for me, too. You know what I'm saying? And, like, being out in L.A., because I've been out in L.A. a couple times this year, and working in some of these studios, a lot of times, like, people are just walking in rooms. You know what I mean? Or you have, like one of my homies, he records for this artist named Ivy, and her and Trippy just had a song that came out together, a song and video, right? And Ivy and my homie Hunt, they're his girlfriend and Ivy are friends. They went to Trippy's house, and it was like, you know, they sat in sessions. It's just a bunch of people in there, you know what I mean? So it's like, I don't know. I mean, if I can just be in rooms, see how people work, you know, I like seeing people's process. Sometimes that helps me where I'm like, oh, okay, I feel that, you know. But, yeah, man, I don't really have, like, if I can just be in rooms, if we can create together, sometimes records come about and you didn't even expect, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
Or having too high expectations where it's like, yo, I want to work. A lot of times we, like, see, like, I remember when Kendrick and M did Love Game, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I remember when they released the track list, I'm like, oh my God, a Kendrick and M track. Things, like, that's going to be crazy. And they took it in a completely different direction.
Exactly. Yeah.
I thought it was dope still, but I was like, man, I want to hear another element from those two. And because of that, I was like, no, wait, I got to, like, let the art be what it is. And so that's my thing is that I don't try to hold too much where I'm like, I got to work with this person. But I do believe in manifestation, too, so, like, maybe I should be specifying, like, who I want to work with and bringing that out there, but I don't know, man. If I can just get in these rooms and lay down a few records, there's a lot of producers, like Illmind. I really want to work with Illmind. He's a fucking beast. Yeah, I want to work with him, you know, but I don't know. Everybody, if I can, like, let's just do it, you know what I'm saying?
All right.
If shit cracks or if somebody likes my stuff and they're like, yo, let's work. If we can figure out logistics, I'll be there. You know what I mean? Even if I'm eating ramen and sleeping on the couch, I'll sleep on the floor in the studio. I don't care. Right. Let's get it done, you know?
And we're back. So what I was getting into was, so yeah, Pete's not really big into like the new music and like, you know, making playlists and stuff. Right. But when we're at the store.
I enjoy listening to it. I'm not like.
But he's not on top of like building his own playlist and stuff. Right. But
not
like,
at all.
So Kevin was playing on the store playlist and he's like, And I know it's always this weird, like, hey, what's the name of the song? So
you know the song slaps.
Yeah, and it was Kevin. Uh-huh. And I wanted to get into that a little bit because have you seen the movie Split?
Yeah, that's
okay.
Yeah,
because when I watch that video and I hear that song, I think of that movie Split because there's all these personalities and, like, can you, like, where did that come from? Because that's, like, a very in-depth song. There's a lot to break down.
But. Right. Yeah, so 23, the EP, I took on the 23 persona. So throughout that record, you'll hear a bunch of different styles that I wanted to play with. I got inspired by Split because...
Oh, so it's actually inspired
by Split? No, yeah, I filmed, and that's what I was going to say. I was going to go back to, I forgot, a lot of my inspiration comes from, like, shit in the world. Film is big, and that's why I think visually about a lot of stuff too, because Pink Palace, there are elements in there that were inspired by this anime, Full Metal Alchemist Brotherhood. Mm-hmm. So I got Equivalent Exchange in there, and The Portal, you know what I mean? 23 and the record Kevin, like that whole project was inspired by the movie Split. Like, and it's called Kevin because Kevin Wendell Crumb is the host body of the personalities.
Yep.
And then, like, I threw in Elizabeth and Nene, female names, because he had a couple female personalities in there. Yeah, and to some of the names, like, there was a lot of shady stuff. That I'm a petty person, and I've been trying to work on not doing that. But, yeah, one of my exes, like, we were, like, on and off after this. I had broken up with her, and I was writing all this crazy music. And I was like, let me just, like, there were certain names or people or things that were incorporated in there. So when she heard it, you know, she could only think about those moments. And I do shit like that. Pink Palace, I had my ex-girlfriend from that project hit me up, you know what I mean? Like, damn, dude. And I was like, my bad, you know? It was what it was. But now going back... The 23 personalities allowed me to have a little bit more fun because that some of those trappy vibes or, like, stuff. Like, it was the first time I was really, really using auto-tune a lot or, like, heavily or, like, where I would come in and I'm like, okay, I need the tune blown out here. You know what I'm saying? Like, all the way up. And I remember the day that we had recorded that record because I was writing it. I write in weird spots. I was in my bathroom with a red light, like, from, like, a DeFoto developing room. Mm. Nate has, like, his room is a black room. He gave me that light when he got a new light. So I'm sitting on the bathroom floor listening to this beat. Shout out Bordenero. He's out of Cedar Falls. He made the beats for Kevin and Elizabeth. I'm sitting on the floor. He sent me this 20-pack. I'm sitting on the floor, and I'm writing Kevin, and I'm rapping it in, you know, my dominant voice that I had used for Pink Palace, and I'm like, this shit sound kind of whack, dude. You know what I mean? And I'm like, I can't, like, so I'm picking it up. And, like, all these, I took my inspirations at the time. So, like, the trap music, that first verse is inspired a lot by Young Thug and Lil Wayne.
And that's Lil Perk?
Yeah, Lil Perk, right. If I was loving, all right, your little Mickey me bit, you know what I'm saying? Like, Thugger, like, I'm making Pink Palace, but I'm listening to Young Thug, you know what I'm saying? And so it's like, yo, I had to take some of these elements, or I'm like, I'm inspired by this. I want to make something like that. And so I did the personalities to detach myself from Jordan Burgett, right? So basically, nobody could be like, oh, man, this dude switching up, yada, yada, yada. I'm like, no, like, these are extensions of myself. These are the personalities, you know what I'm saying? And in that, I got to have, at least for me, that allowed me to have creative freedom because I'm writing as if I'm somebody else. Lil Perk in the video got 100 racks. He's got 2 gold chains on, you know, crazy fashion, all this shit, right? And that's his attitude. He's like a new rapper, like the flashy shit. So what I'm writing, if I pull up in a Wraith, your little bitch give me face. Like, I drive a Nissan, you know what I'm saying? Like, you know, I'm not there yet, but I embodied that because I'm like, yo, I felt that. And when I hear Thug or when I hear Gunna or, like, when I hear somebody on that braggadocious shit, I'm like, yo, like, I see myself in that rig. You know what I'm saying? So that detachment allowed me to get more creative in my writing process. And then I just took it further. And when I came in the studio that day, 16, he mixes and masters and records a lot of my stuff. I remember Reese was in there. Yodes was in there. Six was in there, and I'm like, yo, for the first verse, turn the tune up, you know what I'm saying? And I'm naming off all the characters, and they're hearing it, and I did the take, And Six was like, yo, what the fuck was that, bro? And I'm like, dude, I'm telling you, like, I got this vibe. And I started telling him about it. I'm like, yo, I was inspired by Split. I'm doing this. And so we did the whole record, threaded it through. You got a little bit of Jordan Brigette in there, and then comes back in at the end of 23. So I did it kind of like how Split, you meet all his personalities throughout the movie, and then finally she gets access to Kevin. Mm. And that's where the raw shit comes in. So what a lot of people don't know, my projects follow a chronological timeline. So at the end of Pink Palace, you hear footsteps. The footsteps are walking into the counseling session. That is 23. The end of 23, you find out I was in a counseling session and she's meeting all of these personalities. So
is that the phone calls at the end of like the Red Rum songs?
So, So Red Rum at the beginning in Sub Rosa. So yeah, going to the structure, right? Okay. 23 at the end, you find out about the counseling session. She says, next week when you come back, we're going to confront your demons. So she meets the 23 personalities. The next record, she meets the demons. Red Rum Serves Murder. Every record is one of the demons personified, mm-hmm. right? So I do a little bit of time skipping, and that's why I did the definitions, because they all say like what hour it is in the night. But Sub Rosa is the morning after the night of Red Rum. So that's the counseling session. When you hear at the beginning, she's like, Jordan, come on in. Mm-hmm. How are you feeling today? And I was like, I had a long night.
That's blowing my mind right now. I appreciate it. Yeah, bro,
this is crazy. So I threaded it through, and I'm like, I had a long night. She's like, would you like to talk about it? And I'm like, yeah. She's like, okay, let's get started. And you hear me sing immediately after. And that's the pain. And I say, my demons scheming because they want me dead. Mental prison, meet the hollow head. You know, what I say, I'm trying to get my little brother fed, but I got sisters too. I'm trying to get this bread, right? Real simple. And I start rapping about my life, my pineapple flower. Wow. What's the lyrics? Let me read it. I write so much that I'd be forgetting my own shit. When I perform, it's kind of bad. I'll have to the days I perform, I'll have to listen to my records over and over and over again. Okay, don't fuck up the words. hold on. My demons. Hold on. Because I want to bring this up. My pineapple. Hold on. Did I write this in a notepad? I don't know. Okay, but either way, I'm talking about my life. I'm being raw about it. And then Sub Rosa at the beach switch. What I did, tell him what I did. This is just a tale of what a nigga did just to put a little food in my mama's fridge. Gotta hit the Western U for the commissary. Nigga serving fed time, papa did a bit. My shorty hit me, said it's done, so it's man down. Wonder how it would be different if she kept the kid. I never been the type to take a handout. I just battled with these demons as I popped the lid. I popped the lid and it tees up, right? So that sad element is like bringing her in. Like, I'm about to tell you about my demons, but I brought the beat switch in there to kind of bring in some of the elements of like this liberation. So like with the night and Red Rum, so then after Sub Rosa it goes to Dark Night. Mm-hmm. Midnight, I battle with my first demon, Dark Liquor. Dark Night, a lot of people think it's a play on Dark Knight and the Batman, and I took those elements, but really it's John of the Cross's poem, Dark Knight of the Soul. And that basically, he never coined it that. It's like a old poem. And basically the theory is that the soul has two dark nights before it reaches like enlightenment or whatever, right? And so this is my dark moment here. This is where the night starts. Every record then from there out is an hour in the night. So Dark Night, talking about my addiction to alcohol, Sage, my addiction to money. I had went through a time in my life where I was doing some questionable things for bread. I don't want to say anything incriminating. and statutes of limitation, you say in music is fine. But no, I had done that, and that's a play on, and like a lot of people don't even know that, you know, and I keep it vague because family listens to stuff, but a lot of times they respect certain boundaries. So I don't have to say certain things, you know what I'm saying? But Sage, my addiction to money. After that is Betty. At the time, I was like out here doing blow and crazy shit, like party boy shit, you know what I'm saying? And so White, then Blue, the ocean or a woman's ocean, or, you know.
Yeah, and I knew Blue was about women, but right. I was waiting for that connection between the color and the
red rum. So then at the skit, so like Dark Knight, the skit after that, and going back, the skit after that is the transition. I'm in an Uber on the way to downtown to get these, you know, get the shit off. But you hear the voicemail from a girl who's playing my ex-girlfriend. My ex-girlfriend always used to say, like, she would send me texts and be like, you'll never find another girl like me. So I had, and she's bilingual. I'm not going to talk about where she's from, but I had a girl who spoke Spanish. She was switching in and out between Spanish and English. It was a homie, too. Shout out Zulema, because she went crazy on it. She was out downtown, and she's like, okay, I'm going to do this. I'm really drunk. And I'm like, fuck it. Go ahead. So she called me, sent me a bunch of different voice memos, and I was like, that was the one. And then DJ Paymon has this Persian dad account where he, you know, he's Persian. He, like, talks with the accent, says a bunch of funny. And I was like, dude, we have to have a skit.
Was he the Uber driver?
He was the Uber driver.
I thought that voice sounded familiar.
Yeah. He was the Uber driver. You know, and a lot of times you hop in the Uber, people are from a bunch of different countries. So it's like, you have interesting conversations. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. And so I'm playing the voicemail and I'm drunk because I dealt with my dark liquor. I'm Liddy, and I'm like, you know, and I said too much. I'm like, yeah, man, you know, she always does this when I go out to work. And I remember when I was in that life, she always used to tell me, oh, you only do this because you want attention from the females. And it's like, I had some tragic stuff happen financially with my family, and so I had to kind of help support in certain ways. And so just the lack of trust, all that stuff, I wanted to bring that in there. You know, Sage, at the end, you hear me talking to one of the homies, like, yo, cash only, don't do the, you know what I'm saying? Like, that leads into the next record, Betty, you know what I'm saying? Getting hype, and then the guitar solo at the end. Betty's supposed to feel like the height of cocaine and then the come down. And then Blue at the end, going back, the arrest. So I was arrested back January 31st. I've been getting into a lot of fights downtown the months before. Show was moving down to Atlanta. He called me. He was like, yo, I got big plans for you. Sit the fuck down. Like, chill out, bro. You're doing too much. So I stayed in the crib. Benji over there, we had gotten into it with a couple guys. It was the whole squad. And we tried to defuse the situation, but they ended up wanting to get it cracking. I have a permit to carry, so I have my pistol on me. It was a whole fiasco. Cop came up, didn't announce himself. I'm looking to the side. I just feel mace. So I, pew, you know, I took off. I'm like, I don't know. I'd never been maced before. Nobody was like, stop, police. You know what I mean? It just got hit. So I ran off, and I'm in the alleyway. I start seeing police cars everywhere. I'm like, yo, what the fuck is going on, bro? And Yodes calls me. He's like, Jay, like, it's hot out here right now. But he's like, it's mellow around here. Just come back. We'll get an Uber. And I'm like, bro, I don't know if I can move from here right now. Like, I might have to chill. And he's like, it's straight. I start walking back, and the officer had come right back around the corner. So he came up, and he had taser pulled out. Yoder's screaming. He thought he tased me, you know. But I don't know if it was fight or flight or what. I ran, and then Clinton Street. I think it's Clinton. What's the one right across the Ped Mall?
How terrible street names, but
well, you,
like Washington or
Washington. Yeah, so from the Ped Mall to the Wells Fargo right there, that street, squad cars pull up, I get tackled, they bust my lip, mess up my shoulder, and then immediately the shit talking starts. You know what I'm saying? I had my pistol on me. I had never been in trouble before. Never. No priors. And I ended up catching 5 charges that accumulated like 7 years worth of stuff. So they tried to make me a felon off the first one, all that. So that night, I actually, and this was, so January 31st, like I said, I had already started meditating. My 2 cellies passed out. I was up all night. I meditated for like 3 hours, right? And I'm going through my process where I'm like, how the fuck did this shit just happen? And how can I be calm about it? Like, I just caught interfering with official acts of the firearm. That's a felony. I'm a felon, right? You think, right? You're panicking. You know what I'm saying? I'm in the back of the cop car. I'm thinking about my little brother. Because I'm like, if he hears about this shit, that's going to traumatize him. My mom had thought I got tased. So she didn't know. And we have a family member, like, she's like a family friend. Her brother got killed because the cops tased him too much. So my mom's in panic mode. I'm at the police station. they strip search me, and then I get my lawyer on the phone. It's 3 a.m. She's like, what the fuck are you doing right now? And I was like, it's crazy. She's like, Jacob, that's Yodes' name. She's like, he's calling me. He's going nuts. She's like, sit down, shut up. We'll talk in the morning. And I'm like, all right, cool. So I sat in there, and that's the skit at the end. So you hear, I'm like, get on the ground. I'm like, I didn't do anything, right? So one of the charges, too, I had CBD oil, but they tried to give me a marijuana possession charge that night. So I got tested and all that. But I used that night as red rum, or that night as the skit for red rum. I didn't get caught when I was doing the other stuff I was doing, but I wanted to give this story, right? And the next record, Red Rum, that's named after the project, Red Rum Serves Murder, is me in the jail cell. And so I'm sitting there in my meditative process, sorting through my shadows. And that's why that record symbolizes blood, because I was angry, bro. You know what I mean? I'm like, this cornball ass cop, like, he's talking to me. He's like, yo, he's like, I was just gonna make you sit down and talk to you. And it's like, well, why do you got your fucking taser pointed at me? I never swung that night either. That's the thing. I got hit. I'm trying to defuse the situation. I was cool. And so I wanted to bring that element in there, and that at the end of Red Rum, you hear me say in the jail cell in my mind, some things you can't avoid. Maybe it should have been me last night instead of George Floyd. Like, I'm bringing in elements, everything that I'm thinking about when I'm in my jail cell. Like, you know, I could have been killed. I could have been, you know, whatever. And I Red Rum is really just the tangible, the thing you could touch, the thing you could see, the thing you can hear of my process of dealing with my shadows. So Carl Jung has the theory of the shadow, the part of you that's unconscious that comes out when you drink or when you have anger or whatever. And I got to become really familiar with my shadows over the time that I was writing Red Rum. So then the skits just pushed that further. Rainbow Road happens, I'm having the definition. I found out I am a demon. Or I didn't have demons, I am one. That's basically the darker elements that I tried to detach from myself. And I'm like, oh, I got demons, or like, this ain't me. It was like, nah, this is a part of you. You just have to be aware of it and integrate it properly in your personality. And then 31 Chanel time skips to the eve of my 32nd birthday, basically where I've made excuses for these dark parts of myself. And now that I'm on the top of, like I say, in the double R cruising off Lennox, you know, I'm in a Rolls Royce off Lennox Ave, you know what I'm saying? And I'm depressed though, you know, and there's a part in there, I wonder if you hear me, God, you need to come right away. A nigga done lost his soul doing shit my own way. Like, trying to foreshadow, if these things aren't integrated properly or if they're not acknowledged, then you donezo, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So I know that's a long kind of explanation, but like I said, it's a slow descent into the story that I wanted to tell, you know?
Right. I mean, listening to your stuff, it sounds like you're ready, bro. Like, I feel like just the right person needs to hear your stuff. Like, have you ever think about, like, you know, do you want to be signed? Do you want to be, like,
absolutely not.
You want to keep doing an independent thing sort of deal? Yeah.
I could do a distribution deal maybe, or something that would be conducive for, you know, my growth. But you hear the horror stories about what record labels do to artists. And but it's like,
I feel like you have to still sign, like, you read the paper and then you sign it. Mm-hmm. Like, who's doing what to who? Like,
negotiate.
Don't sign it. You know what I'm saying? Like,
it's a lot. Exactly. It's a lot of paper, though. They try and, like, they hide that shit, and it's like, yeah. Like, people, you see $1 million just to sign and you don't read the.
Yeah, they play off fear.
I mean, there are people who have had, like, good outcomes from record deals. You know what I'm saying? So I just think at the end of the day, you are responsible for where you put your signature.
Exactly.
So, like, that's a record label can, of course they're going to take advantage of you if you allow them to.
Right.
So will McDonald's. You know what I'm saying? Like, you need to, you just have to be.
Kick back in the nice cozy boardroom and say, all right, I'll read this contract and get back to you in a couple hours.
I just think a couple days
if it's, you know, a fuck ton of pages.
You get your lawyers, all that get stuff. Your lawyers. Yeah, I mean, there are definitely, like, ways you can protect yourself. I think the big thing is that me right now eating ramen noodles and trying to figure out how to budget for my music and marketing and all that, it's like they play off fear. And if you operate in a mind of scarcity, like a lot of people who come up in certain situations, like, I can only imagine, my life has been, I mean, as hard as everybody has a hard life, you know what I mean? But if you think about it, like, I was born in Cedar Rapids. My family is from the South Side of Chicago, so I don't know those elements to my life. But hearing about the things that they went through to get to where they're at, it's like I could imagine if one of them came up on 79th and Woodlawn and people are getting killed, your family's broke, and you got $1 million in front of you. I think that's what the labels do. And two, it's like, yo, I mean, at that point, people don't realize you're just a way that they make money. You know what I'm saying? They have a detachment from you. They don't care about who you are as a person. So it's like I said, like, I think Russ did a distribution deal. Chance had a deal at one point in time. I'll do something like that if it can help, you know, get things out there. But for the most part, I want to keep things in-house. That's why I got Benji, and him and I are doing clothes, and Yodes and I, you know what I'm saying? We have things where if we keep it in-house and we just work on producing dope art, we don't need as many handouts. So when it comes time for that paperwork, like, I'm bringing value. You know what I'm saying? Right. I'm there and I'm like, no, I don't need this, and this. You know what I'm saying? Or if I start generating money, we could have they have deals sometimes where it's like, okay, if we bring 100 racks, you bring 100 racks. You know what I'm saying? And then we work it out that way. So there are ways you can play it, but I would say that I want to own as much of my stuff as possible. You know what I'm saying? Keeping my masters, keeping my publishing. Sometimes things are beneficial, you know, where it might be best to let somebody, like, you know, if I sampled a record and then it blew up and they wanted to keep all the pub from it, but I'm viral now, you know what I mean? I probably have other good music out, so it's like, okay, cool, take the pub. And, you know, you make your money off that, and then we'll do what we do. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So
I hear all these stories, like, about artists, you know, like, getting discovered from giving their tape to somebody or whatever. I think you're good enough to just go stand outside somewhere and, like, just wait for the right person to hear that joke. You know what I'm saying?
I appreciate that, man.
I mean, yeah, it sounds crazy, but I think, you know, I don't think it's as big of a risk for you to do something like that, you know what I'm saying? Because
I've been in some rooms. I mean, I sat in with Lizzo's engineer, who engineered her last project they won the Grammy off of. Illmind was blown away by Sub Rosa. We went to one of his Blap sessions, and, you know, everybody's getting a lot of, like, feedback. He was just like, yo, you're one song away. You know what I'm saying?
All right.
I have, like, connections in the industry, but it's really weird, man. We got a marketing guy right now that he was marketing for Joey Badass's label. Mm-hmm. He's done shit for Def Jam. He ran the marketing campaign for Flip De Niro's Leave Me Alone. Mm. So we built a relationship. I talk to him probably every week or two. He's running a campaign on one of the records right now, shipping it out to different people on Spotify and stuff like that. And he made a point. We were talking on the phone. We were probably on the phone for like an hour and a half one day. And he's like, man, I want to just send all your stuff to people I know or people who... But he's like, the game is so weird nowadays. He's like, they're going to ask, well, what are his numbers like? You know what I mean? And it's like, you almost have to have... Or not almost... They want to see you have thousands of followers and tons of different streams.
I'm glad you brought this up, because I was going to ask you, like, for a kid who's at home listening to this, like, what's the process? Like, what would you say you need to do to try to, like, make it into the music industry? I know it's like it's difficult. You're still trying to figure it out, that shit, but, like, what advice would you give to somebody to take this serious?
Just know your business and have marketable content. Like, I want to be the greatest to ever do this shit, right? That's one of my personal goals. Some people just want to sustain off of they want to be able to do music, and they're like, I'm fine if I make 100 racks off of it this year. You know what I mean? I have my fan base. It's like, some people want to be viral. You know what I mean? Defining your goals or what you want to accomplish, right, I think, is probably the first step. And then after that,
like, you started to go into the followers and stuff, like, what, like, the actual checklist of,
right,
you know what I mean?
That shit, it's tough, man. I mean, I'm learning. I thought that it was about making great music, so I focused
That's what it should be about.
Right? No, exactly.
But it's obviously, it's more to it.
Yodes called me one day, and he was like, Jay, you know I love what we're doing. We got to keep doing what we're doing, keep making authentic music, trying to impact culture. But he's like, remember, you gotta lock in. Hit your socials. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
We gotta get this marketing stuff rolling, all this different stuff. We had this conversation and we ended up getting like our ad spend set up, all that. But it's tough because these days you can walk outside, throw a rock, and you hit a B+ rapper. You know what I mean? Like, for real. Like, everybody wants to rap. Everybody wants to do music. And what's weird about it is that you don't even have to be really, really good anymore. People can fart on a mic. And if you have proper marketing and the video's entertaining, you know, people might blow it up, make it go viral. I mean, there's things that I've heard where I'm like, whoa.
No, I know. That's why I brought this up, because I'm like, bro, you good enough. And I hear shit that's like, what is
that? I need exposure, though, man. That's my thing. Are you
on TikTok?
Not yet.
Because TikTok, bro, that I shit think is wild. You have enough visuals and stuff to clip out stuff. And like, you just need to get on a For You page a couple times and get like, create like...
Especially with how open you are with your emotions and shit. I think that might be busting for you.
Yeah, I would give it a week before you'd have, maybe even sooner than that, like before you'd have over 1,000 followers.
But that's just a new platform where music, and then all of a sudden these dudes are, one song goes viral and they got like 3 million plays on Spotify a day or whatever, you know?
Yeah, we talked about it. And that's my battle, is that this year we got a lot of content, but if I'm going to be honest, I hate social media.
Bro, you know, it's so many people that, like, have the ability to really, like, market themselves that, like, they don't want anything to do with social media because it seems fake. You know what I'm saying? But it is important to get past that.
It's a neutral. Like, I had to learn it's a neutral. Yeah. You use it how it's gonna use you how you use it type shit. You know what I'm saying? So, no, I've been planning on... getting a TikTok. We actually had a couple people that are influencers that they said they were going to be doing some TikToks, but I don't know what happened with that. I have a lot of ideas, but it's tough, man. Like, you got to find a balance. You know what I'm saying? Like, if I'm in the studio or I'm writing a song for 6 hours, right? Sometimes a song will come together in 30 minutes. Sometimes a song will take days or weeks to get it right. Like, The Weeknd, I can't remember what record it was. He said that there was like 23 versions of the record, right?
Mm.
And I've had records like that where we're diving in. We're like, okay, I got to change this. I got to do this. It's like, if I spent, you know, I usually do like 3 main goals in a day. If I've gone to the gym, I made sure I meditated before that. I write, and I'm trying to do this trading stuff and diversify how I'm making money. But if I'm doing that, like, I only have so much energy in a day. And if I've been on my phone, like, I try to make sure I comment back. Everybody comments. So this can be 6 hours throughout the day where I'm boom, somebody, I get the notification and I make sure I engage with them and let them know that I appreciate their support. You know what I'm saying? And it's like, it gets to a point, or it had been, and I'm trying to change that, and that's why I do need to get on the TikTok. I said the TikTok, like I'm an old OG.
It's important to build up a team around you, because it's impossible for you to do what you do great and to be on social media.
Exactly, man.
You know what I mean? Like, somebody's got to hold the camera while you're doing this shit.
Right there. Him, Roderick, Nate, Nick. And that's the thing. Like, I mean, they get good content. It's just now, too, I got to stop having a negligence for the social media stuff.
Right.
Because the only excuse, or I don't even have any excuses anymore. I hated social media. I used it as a negative. Like, I had a bunch of IG models on my timeline. I'm looking around.
A lot of people have messed it up for you mentally, where you're like, this place sucks.
Right.
But really,
you see a lot of fake stuff.
You can use it, and I feel like, because, like, I hear your shit, we see the visuals, we're like, bro, you know what I mean?
Somebody just needs to
see you, bro, because you got what it takes for sure. I just know that, like, it's a lot of real people that ain't messing with it because it seems fake, but, like, it's hard to mentally get over the hump of like wanting
once
to,
you see all those followers rushing and all those comments.
I'm gonna do
like,
it.
That's just like, oh,
let's
shit,
manifest it. Viral on TikTok next week. Let's go.
To bring this full circle though, I think that's a good point about summing it back to, like, you know, when your parents were like, you know, is music really the way to go? You should go to school and stuff. We're in a time now where the social media is kind of like the way to show them, like, oh, this is for real. Like, all of a sudden you got these views, there's sponsorship opportunities, there's a lot of money that comes from that. Like, I think that ties it all together, is like, we live in a time where this is a viable thing. You don't have to go to college. If you're making dope shit and it's authentic and people feel that, you're gonna grow a following just off your phone. And it's a crazy time in life. But so we've been going for well over an hour. I just wanted to kind of wrap it up with one thing. So you dropped the project, you dropped all the videos. What can we expect next from you? Like, are you looking forward to to doing shows again, or is like any like live performances? Cause I know Instagram lives are huge. Yeah. Like, what's next? Like, what's the next move?
We got some dope ideas. I'm gonna definitely do an IG live show or something on. What's the one streaming one? They can send you money and comment on there.
Oh, like Twitch.
Twitch. Yeah, I plan on getting on Twitch, doing a live show. I mean, I can't wait till stuff opens up. I'd love to have. I wanted to do a big release party themed out for Red Rum, have the whole vibe. Of course. That, and then I'm gonna be dropping a lot of music. Mm. A lot of music. I mean, I don't wanna like say something and then not follow through, but I should be having another mixtape out in December on Spotify. I mean, not on Spotify, on SoundCloud and like Datpiff, like the quarantine tapes, where I'm just going in. I'm doing something over that What's Poppin' beat. Mm-hmm. I just wrote that today. That was crazy. Then January, I actually been, so that the singing element, I'm going to be having some R&B vibes coming out here soon too. Dope. So you can expect that. Everything, like I want to approach everything differently. I want each project to be unique and have its own vibe and own feel. So, I just expect in the next 3 to 6 months, probably another 20 records.
Dope.
Yeah. And visuals.
And a TikTok.
And a TikTok. You need to see the TikTok.
Yeah. So where can the people find you and like spell it out? Like what's the...
Yeah,
like
the main... _ Jordan Burgett on all the platforms. That's Instagram, Twitter.
We'll try to put a link too.
For sure. Yeah. And then YouTube, Jordan Burgett, Burgett.
Go check out the Red Rum videos. Yeah, man. And especially after hearing the breakdown now of how the projects go into each other.
It'll all sync up. It's real cool. I like that. Tells a really cool story.
We just went for a long time. We might have to have you back for a part two sometime.
Yeah, because there's a lot we didn't get to touch on. We could talk to you for a long time, it seems.
Let's do it, man. Yeah. I'm ready when it looks. Yeah,
we're back in a mode where we this is 3 weeks in a row. For sure. Yeah. We're going to be doing this consistently, so having you back on.
Let me know whatever Monday I'm here. It could be next week, the week after, next month. You guys just let me know. I'll slide through, bro.
No, we appreciate you for coming through.
I appreciate y'all, man. I appreciate y'all. This is dope. Like, this is... Fashion and music are hand in hand, so
not for sure.
You know, the culture you guys are impacting, especially just around here. I this culture, you bring a whole different element. I remember first time I walked in here, I was like, "Yo, this shit is insane." So
this shit is empty. We didn't have anything.
I just feel bad about what you saw the first time.
Y'all doing it, man. Y'all doing it. So anytime, let me know. I'm here.
We appreciate it, bro.
Yeah. Appreciate everybody tuning in. Like I said, links will be in the description.
We got merch dropping soon too. I brought this in here.
Show this merch, bro. Shout out
Benji Brand. He's the one who actually designed
Let me hold
that.
It closer to the camera for the people.
And you flip it around.
Oh, the back is crazy.
Got the skeleton in the back.
Let me show the back.
And then acid wash this joint. So yeah, we're doing We're gonna be doing customs and things like that. Of course, those are gonna be a little bit more pricey than a regular black joint, but
see no evil, hear no evil.
Shout out Benji, he went crazy.
Shout out Benji.
And if anybody is interested in the merch, are there just links in your
get the merch?
Just hit me directly in the DM. We're pre-ordering right now because it's just gonna be like another 2 weeks. I think we want to get a big shipment. I got these are actually samples. I don't even know if I want to sell them, but if it's right, you know what I'm saying, fuck it, whatever. But these samples, because I'm big on like I want the material to be right. Like, you know, everybody has these standard ones, and I've seen people do merch and just botch the hell out of it. Like, it doesn't feel like I want somebody to put this on and have it for years.
Right.
And it's like, this is like the moment. Like, when I blow up and they're talking about Red Rum, it's like, yeah, I got a 101. Right. And we got video and stuff like that, us making it. It's like, yo, like, we really want all the elements to come together. So hit me on IG or however. We're getting pre-orders right now. And then here within the next 3 to 7 days, we'll have the online store integrated on the website. So then it'll be an easier process. But if people want merch, hit me. And even if It is all integrated on there. I'll send them to the site. So
that's fire.
Yep. Check our guy out, man. Appreciate you guys tuning in.
Shout out Vice. We appreciate
y'all. For sure, bro. Thank you for coming through.
We'll see you guys next week.
For sure.